Okay, so we'll just briefly review what we covered already in last class. From 20 to 25, right? So what is the theme and what are some of the points?
Why people surrender to demigods?
So why do people surrender to demigods?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Main thing, what's the main reason?
Ignorance.
Ignorance? Yeah, ignorance without knowing who is the, you know, lord of everything. Yeah.
Material desires.
Material desires. Quick results. They get quick results from demigods. They could get the same thing from Krishna, but they want quick results. Okay, so then what are some of the points Krishna says about that? Sorry, ma'am. So what does Krishna describe, you know, some of the points he gives, right, about what is Krishna's role in a person worshipping demigod? A person is worshipping demigod. What is Krishna's role?
Krishna gives the faith.
So he gives the faith and?
He is the source of everything. So we are indirectly getting it from demigods if we pray to them.
So he is giving the results also. He is giving the faith. He is giving. So this side and that side. Both sides. So he is giving the faith. He is giving the results. And what is the destination of people who worship demigods? They go to demigod planets. But devotees who worship Krishna?
Go to
Krishna. Go to Krishna's planet. Then, okay, what about 24 and 25 talks about impersonalism, right? Impersonalist worshippers. What does Krishna say about himself? Like, you know, how do people see him as impersonal? Why some people cannot see Krishna?
Maya. Because covers.
Yeah, so Maya, so Krishna covers himself, right? Or from the sight of the devotee, rather Maya covers the devotee from seeing Krishna. But here the way Krishna says is, I cover myself with, my Yoga Maya, he says. Yoga Maya Samanvita, next verse. Yoga Maya Samavrita. He says that for them, I am covered by my internal potency. So Krishna himself hides from them, kind of. Therefore, they do not know I am unborn and infallible. Right? So, so we talked about two kinds of. Even we also cannot appreciate Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So, what is our covering? We are covered by Maya. So, Yashoda Mata also cannot see Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is covered by Yoga Maya. So, you know, that is to enhance the loving relationship. And this is to keep us away from Krishna. So, that's one thing. I think that's it. So any other points somebody wants to share?
Chataka
bird, yeah.
How pure, like, those who are in pure devotional service, they don't accept anything from demigods, whatever things they will get from Supreme Lord is enough for them.
Yeah, so they just await for the mercy of the Lord. Then little bit extension, we talked about thunder, right? What is it?
Huh?
Thunder.
It's raining, clouds may give thunder. But that means Krishna, before giving his mercy, he may be hard, but we need to wait until the rain comes, like mercy comes, with patience and faith on him.
Very nice, very good. Yeah. So today we'll cover the last section of the chapter, 27 to 30, right? 26 to 30. Before that, I wanted to ask generally, you know, of course, many people inform they are not going to come. So I know that all the people, Karima Mataji, Sav Prabhu, Prabhu Mataji, they all informed, Swami Prabhu, they all informed they are not going to come. So I think this is all the crowd we have, right? So I wanted to bring up this, you know, like, is it okay, 7 o'clock, everyone? Everybody seems to be coming after.
They said they will not come.
They will not. No, today they will not come.
Yeah, okay.
So.
So we should be fine, Mataji.
Should be fine, but people have to come, right? Should be fine for me, looks like.
Now the time is 7:15, right?
No, 7.
Yeah.
7:15, you wrote 7:15.
Oh, maybe I didn't change. I didn't. Oh.
No, I didn't notice that, but when we discussed in the class, 7 o'clock they can go to the temple. And come to the...
No, that we later we changed.
No,
long ago we
yeah,
changed to 7.
We changed it to 7.
The day when... long time ago we said we are changing the time to 7.
Sorry, I don't know. I thought we are thinking 7:15.
No. We are starting at 7. 7 to 7:15. If you do the agenda, the agenda is changed. 7
okay.
to 7:15 is... Maybe that is not clearly mentioned.
Okay. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's what I think. Some people are coming at 7:30. So it's not good actually, you know. Our teacher is always... No, it's basically this shows our eagerness. We have so many excuses we can give. Okay, I have child, I have this, I have that. Okay, child maybe, you know, some cases, you know, it's unexpectable. Sometimes they fall sick or something, you know, they do random things which are completely out of control. But if children are grown up and everything we can manage, it's just about planning, right? So, I didn't want to share it in a different mood, but I remember when I was coming to Bhakti Viksha, 7 o'clock was the time. Of course, I was not married, I didn't have any commitment, so probably it's easy for me to do it. So I used to come exactly at 7 to the program. And when I come, actually, you know, nothing was set up, bed sheets, nothing was set up. You know? Then I used to help set it up. Then I always used to wonder, this is so important, you know, Bhagavad Gita, I'm so eager to hear the nectar. Why they are delaying? You know, the people are conducting. They are not doing. Why? They are also delaying. I was not able to understand. Then I understood, maybe, you know, anyway people come late, so they announce 7, but they start at 7:30. That's what is their way of doing things. But I always used to feel like this.
Earlier, at least for us, the confusion is 7:15.
Oh.
I don't notice the time. Earlier, we thought 7:15,
oh.
So that's always in the mind. 7:15 is a class.
Oh. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, so we can fix that. And we'll try our best. Of course, you know, we are also doing late. It's not like we are starting at 7. Because with kids, sometimes it goes like...
Yeah,
but
I was also
the worst
7:30 is when we are starting the class.
Yeah, so, no, 7 to 7:15 we do kirtans. 7:15 we'll start. Because we are not getting enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting... We do review 10 minutes, right? So by the time I start, 7:45. I just have 45 minutes. And we have to do some... At least substantial, you know, by the time we pick up the momentum, everything is gone. And by the time we have to leave. So we needed at least 1 hour we need for discussion, and we need some time for discussion also. It's not like I speak all the time, right? So sometimes questions will come and all those things, we'll not have enough room. So that's why we thought we'll move to 7, and even Sahu Prabhu, Swami Prabhu, they started coming at 7, even though they wanted actually darshan time and come. So maybe we didn't announce it properly, that everybody didn't notice. So, but you know, we'll keep that in mind and do it from now on.
What if little delay happens, so I would not come
around it? No, you can come. What I'm saying is, I'm re-emphasizing again, you know, the importance of, this is our reciprocation is Krishna, basically. You know, Krishna wants to speak, or rather, you know, Krishna wants to share his knowledge. How are we reciprocating with that, you know? How eager we are. Whole week, are we meditating? When is Friday coming? If so, when Friday came, why we are not coming on time? Otherwise, it's yet another day, yet another program. Is it like that? No, what is our mood? That's what I'm saying. You know, I was giving my example, which is not, hopefully it's out of humility, but you know, just sharing like that, you know. It's very important. Actually, in Bhagavatam class, we do with Matajis, right? Of course, you know, as usual, everybody come little late, everything. Then one Mataji comes on time. She 10:30 exactly she came. First class, second class, she came. So second class she came 10:30, exactly 11:30 she left. But I started late because I waited for a couple of people. And it ended 10 minutes late because I started 10 minutes late. Then she had to leave early, she left early, but she wrote an email. I'm sorry I had to leave early and I feel I'm sorry that I missed it. But can you re-emphasize the importance of time in the class so everybody comes and we can start on time. I didn't want to miss it. My Guru Maharaj used to tell that whenever we miss programs for Krishna, we are always keep missing. We'll also miss the... boat back home, back to Godhead. My Guru Maharaj used to emphasize the timing so much. she was telling. Then I felt, you know, it's a message for me also. Why I should wait 10 minutes? Even one person is there, I should start. So then I said, you know, whatever it is, 10:35, I'm going to start. Whoever is going to come. So, you know, I feel actually they are going to miss, you know, I'll wait some more time. But, you know, they should feel I am going to miss. It's very, very, you know, ridiculous actually. Yeah. No, but otherwise, you know, the people who come on time, they feel they are not being respected, right? So that's one thing. I was going to say something. Yeah.
So from next week onwards, 7 o'clock?
Start. 7 o'clock, yeah. Maybe we'll just give 7:05 for me also sometimes. 7:05, at least, you know, if you plan 7, you'll come at 7:05. Okay, we'll start. 26, right? 26. एताहं समतीतानि वर्तमानानि च अर्जुना भविष्यामि च भूतानि मां तु वेदन कश्चन. ओ अर्जुना, एज अ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इन आई नो एवरीथिंग दैट हैज हैपेंड इन द पास्ट, ऑल दैट इज हैपनिंग इन द प्रेजेंट एंड ऑल थिंग्स दैट आर येट टू कम. आई ऑल्सो नो ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज बट मी नो वन नोस. सो हियर द कनेक्शन इज, अर्लियर कृष्णा इज सेइंग Maya covers the living entity from seeing him, right? So the question is, does Maya cover Krishna? Earlier we saw living entity is not able to see Krishna because it's covered by Maya. So now, is Krishna covered by Maya? So Krishna is saying no. No, I know everything in the past, I know everything now that's happening, I know everything in the future. I know all the living entities, but me, no one knows. So is anybody surprised with this statement? We saw similar thing, right, in fourth chapter?
Yeah, fourth chapter.
Krishna says, because when he says, I gave this knowledge to Vivashan, you can say the context.
Yeah, Arjuna was bewildered that Krishna said this Bhagavad Gita to Vivashan, and he thinks like, how come Vivashan is so
senior.
Very senior, and you are right now in front of me, how can you tell this to Vivashan? Long ago. And Krishna says that I am in past, present and future also. You are also there, but you don't know. I know the things.
So why, how come Krishna will know but not others, not Arjuna? Why?
Arjuna is like, he will forget everything. Because
why
of the
forgets?
Birth and death, Krishna don't have birth and death, he is the supreme soul.
Yeah, so because Arjuna takes material bodies, as soon as the material body we give up, we forget about the body. But because Krishna doesn't change bodies, he can remember everything. So here Krishna again is saying that me, no one knows. No, everybody knows. I know everything, but me, no one knows. So other point is, one important point is, so Krishna knows everything, past, present and future, without interfering with our free will. So usually I think Amit Prabhu once he asked this question. So somebody here maybe. No, how Krishna knows about past, present, and future doesn't mean we don't have free will. Who asked this question? Does anybody remember?
Me.
You asked, Yeah, so he can know past, present, and future without interfering with free will. Just because he knows doesn't mean we don't have a freedom of choice. But he knows what choice we are going to make. That's the whole thing. Got it? So every time we have choice and we feel as if, you know, we are making choice, but Krishna knows what choice we are going to make. It's like sometimes, you know, especially pure devotees, they can guess our future. You know, based on the way our Radhakrishna Prabhu was telling last day in the class. Like I was telling Ramya Mataji also, you know, he's so pure from the time 6 years ago when he started doing the classes, you know. For first 15 minutes when I come to the class, I'm not even able to be looking at him. Like I cannot even look at him. Because, you know, when they are so pure, you can feel the, you know, they penetrate through you basically, you know, they see through you. So it's very startling actually, you know, because as if, you know, they know everything about you. It's like, you know, very scary little bit. So 15 minutes I'll just see and slowly open up and then I'll be in the mood and then ask questions, all those things. So this time he was telling, if I stay little few days here in Seattle, I can, you know, figure out, you know, where everybody is at. You know, what is their mentality, what is their inclination for Krishna consciousness, what are their attachments, everything. I know everything about everybody yesterday. Just few days if I stay. But actually he may know now itself, you know, it's just like that he's telling so people don't ask him. But he knows everything actually. No, based on the way he you know, interacts with people, very personal, very individual, and very you know, according to the their disposition towards Krishna, he interacts with them. So it's wonderful. So that's what I'm saying. You know, similarly, pure devotees also know about a past kind of, not in details, but they can know based on, you know, where we are situated right now, what piety, and future also. Like one example is given, right? Somebody is sitting on a branch and is cutting the branch. Then one sadhu or somebody is going down and said, no, Prabhu, don't do this, you're going to fall down. They said, no, why are you saying like this? I've been doing this for so long, you know, how can you say I'm going to fall down? After some time, he fell down. And he said, oh, sadhu, you know my future, you know, you're so wonderful, you know my future. You know, you must be a great astrologer. So he's, but you know, based on our inclinations or motivations, we know people, especially, you know, when we practice, when we have knowledge, we can guess where people are going to head. For example, drunkard, right? We know what his situation will be. Soon he will start beating his wife and children, he will start stealing money to drink, right? We know it's going to be happening like this. So if somebody says like that, they say, oh, you know my future. So it's like that. Similarly, you know, based on the our nature, our mentality, Krishna knows exactly what's going to happen.
It's like us also, right, Mataji? We know what kids will do.
Yeah.
If we give them option, we definitely know what the kid is going to do. So Krishna, being our father, he also knows what we'll do.
That's true, yeah. That's very good, yeah. Even between two kids, right, we know exactly in some situation how two kids act differently based on their nature, inclination, personality and their mood and obedience, all this. Very good.
In this case, we should not follow Krishna.
We like
should
what?
Not give way to kids.
Yeah.
In some time.
Yeah.
This depends on
the
time and
the
situation.
Yeah, they still have free will, but you know, we should train, we should give the result. It's not that after they do wrong action, we leave them, right? We give the result so they know it's wrong. But still they have free will, no? Even in that small age, they have free will. Right? We cannot control our kids. Okay, then, I think that's all I covered. Yeah, so we'll read some amount of purport. Maybe read second paragraph. Unlike the ordinary human being,
Lord Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we have seen the Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vivaswan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Krishna knows every living entity because he is situated in every living being's heart as a super soul. But despite his presence in every living entity as super soul and his presence as the supreme personality of Godhead, the less intelligent, even if able to realize the personal Brahman, cannot realize Sri Krishna as the supreme person. Certainly the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is not perishable. He is just like the sun, and Maya is like a cloud. In the material world, we can see that there is the sun, and that there are clouds and different stars and planets. The clouds may cover all these in the sky temporarily, but this covering is only apparent to our limited vision. The sun, moon and stars are not actually covered. Similarly, Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, he is not manifest to the less intelligent class of men.
We can pause there. Yeah. So what are some of the points? So first point Prabhupada is telling is that because Krishna, similar discussion we had in 4th chapter, that is verses 4.4 to 6, if you want to write down. Then he says because Krishna is situated in everybody's heart as a super soul, he knows about everybody's past, present and future. Yeah, and then so that's what I felt, as if like, you know, this point occurred to me as like Krishna is actually the closest than anything in the world for us. Actually, see, remember, you know, it's within the heart of the living entity, closest than even, you know, our, whatever so-called we think our wife and children are the closest people, right? But actually Krishna is closer than them also, even physically. This is so, he's our well-wishing friend, Krishna says, right? What is that verse, peace formula? You memorized, right? Bhoktaram yakya tapasam sarvalokamaneshwaram suhritam sarvabhutanam nyatvamam shantimichati. Suhritam means well-wishing friend. So he is the best well-wishing friend. He is sitting seated so closest to us. But he is so close, but still we cannot realize him. No? That's what Prabhupada is saying. Even people can realize him personal Brahman, but they cannot realize Krishna as Bhagavan. So that's why it's called self-realization. It's looking within actually, you know. We try to look outside and do so many things outside, but actually it's just working on ourselves to finally clear ourselves to see Krishna face to face. And then this analogy Srila Prabhupada is giving about cloud and sun and stars. So what is that analogy? Can anybody paraphrase?
Sun and
stars. Stars and cloud.
In Brahman?
No.
It's like how the sun rays is covered by cloud. But sun is there, but the cloud covers it, so we can't see the sun. That is how our situation is. But Krishna cannot be covered by any maya, how sun can be covered.
But sun is actually not covered.
Yeah, basically cloud is covering our vision to the sun, right?
But
it's not like cloud is covering the sun, right? Mm-hmm. So maya is covering our vision to Krishna, but it's not like maya is overpowering Krishna and covering it. Okay, so maya cannot overcover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, it's not manifest to the less intelligent man. So this verse also, you know, this verse, where is really the right term? 9 point something. Krishna says maya dakshena prakriti suetasa charachara. Yeah, 9.10. In this verse Krishna says that actually this material energy is working under my direction. So if it's working under his direction, that means it's subservient to him. If it's subservient, then she cannot overpower him. That's the point. And in even Srimad Bhagavatam it is said maya is like a shadow, like, you know, Krishna's shadow. So she just follows behind Krishna. It's like that. So maya cannot at any point cover Krishna. But that's what this Mayavadis say, that actually Krishna is a person in mode of goodness, and he is also covered by maya. So once we all realize, you know, we remove that covering, then we all realize we are all God. So that's their, you know, conception. But it's so, you know, but maya cannot cover Krishna. It's very clear. It's okay. So we'll go to the next verse. So in this verse, next verse, so why can't generally people understand Krishna? That root cause, you know, the fundamental problem why people cannot understand Krishna is given. 27. Ichcha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarve yanti parantapa. Oksyan of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So all living entities are born into delusion. That means they are affected by illusory energy, material energy. Why? Because they are bewildered by dualities which are arisen from desire and hate. So what is this desire? Prabhupada says in the purport, this desire you can write down if you want. So this desire is to enjoy and to become one with the Lord, become Lord basically. Desire to become Lord. And the hate is envy for the Lord. So everybody is, in the translation you can write them. So everybody is influenced by this desire to become the Lord and hate, or rather to envy the Lord.
Hate is to envy the Lord?
Yeah. Because of these two, they are forced to face the dualities of honor, dishonor, good and bad, happiness, distress. Because they themselves are in these dualities of desire and hate. That's why they are covered up with this illusion energy. So this desire to become Lord and this hate or envy of the Lord. Everybody, all the living entities are under this situation. So because of which they cannot understand Krishna. So we'll read a purport first from the beginning, the real constitutional position.
The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and engage Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God.
See, in that statement, Prabhupada clarifies what is the desire and hate.
Yeah. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies, but those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of God is created by material energies.
We can pause there, Mithi. So that's the thing. So Lord Krishna appears by his internal potencies, but those who are deluded by duality and nations think that Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. So that's how they Krishna is covered for them, because they themselves are in this contaminated by desire and hate. They are under the influence of illusory energy. Because of this, they also think Krishna is also like us. Krishna is also made of this matter.
So they think the material energy is superior to Personality of God.
Yeah, they think Krishna is one of us. There is no, you know, there is no God. God is impersonal. Or
impersonal means they are itself God.
Yeah.
Impersonal.
Impersonal. There are two types of impersonal. One is Brahmavadi, Mayavadi. But Brahmavadi are not offensive to the Lord. That means they accept the personality of the Lord, but they like impersonal feature of the Lord. Mayavadis, they say God itself is impersonal. God in, like, basically, you know, we call Krishna God, right? So they say ultimate, in ultimate sense, God doesn't have hands, he doesn't have mouth, he doesn't.
It's like Sakal Nirakar. Is that, that's the Sakal?
No, not really, because
Sakal is where we consider it, he has a rupa, like he has a.
Yeah, I understand, but the terminology is different from what Prabhupada defines it. That's why I'm clarifying it.
Okay, impersonal is different then.
Yeah, because that words seem same, make sense, but the words are used in a different context always in Bhagavatam. So that's why I'm not really, you know, agreeing with you. Nirakar, Krishna also is discussed, described as Nirakar, Nirguna, all these points, you know, it's given in Bhagavatam. Because of these verses only, Mayavadis think he doesn't have any quality, he doesn't have any form. But actually Prabhupada clarifies that means he doesn't have material form, material qualities. Nirakar and Nirguna means doesn't have material form, doesn't have material qualities. He has spiritual form, spiritual qualities. So that's why I clarified. Okay?
And Mayavadi also, they don't do a distinction between soul and super soul as well, right?
Yeah.
Mayavadi.
Yeah, Mayavadi means Jagan Mithya. What is that? Some phrase they say. No, all whole world is Maya. No, there is nothing. If I see something as two, that is Maya. So that's what Prabhupada said, you know, okay. Then you beat him with a stick. Then he says, no, it's paining. Then, no, you and me are one. No, why there is pain? Why are you feeling pain? So like that, you know, this. So at a very basic level also, this doesn't make sense. But somehow, people can be so deluded that they can spend whole lifetimes thinking in this philosophy and living in this philosophy. That's very unfortunate. But that's how Krishna enables them to do it. So other thing I was thinking, practical thing for us is, no, the way we may not see it so, what to say, so easily in us that we have so much desire to become Lord and so much envy for the Lord. We may not see it so, because at least we are trying to become devotees, right? We may not see it in a so gross way. Like, you know, as, for example, when we see atheists or some, or when we see people who really sense enjoyers, we can say, okay, they want to become God, they want, they are envious of God. It's very clear. But at least practicing devotees, we may not see, you know, we are deluded by this. But we also cannot see Krishna, right? We are not able to see Krishna in real sense. We cannot appreciate Krishna's name is not different from Krishna. Otherwise, how much attentively we chant, right? How much, and we cannot have faith in Krishna. Otherwise, you know, how we can invest everything and surrender completely. We are not able to do it because we also cannot see Krishna. So that means we are also influenced by this desire and hate to some extent, right? So the way it manifests, Prabhupada says, is that, you know, aversion is the opposite side of attachment. So if we are materially attached to something, initially when I heard this statement, I was not able to understand, but only recently I'm able to comprehend this. So if we are materially attached to something, it's just a matter of time, you will be averse. Averse either to the same thing, like for example, sometimes, you know, like gulab jamun, we eat two times, one, initially we are attached, oh, I want to eat one, two, three, after sometimes same thing, it's like, oh, I just don't even want to taste. You know, that's one same item, we can just get averse immediately. Or other thing is, we'll get averse to people who are disturbing our attachment. Like, you know, there are some like let's say, okay, I don't want to name anything so that you don't get a clue, but okay, let's say, you know, we are attached to a certain personality, materially, like let's say, you know, a hero or a politician or something, we are really attached to that person. And maybe, you know, because of the position, everything. But if we see somebody threatening that position, or, you know, somebody trying to cause harm for that person, we immediately become averse to those people. Right? Because of that, if somebody is disturbing my attachment, so I cannot tolerate, so I'm going to... So this is all in the material platform. Even though seemingly we may feel, oh, I'm attached to a devotee, but if that attachment is in material sense, it causes dualities. And we are actually roaming in this illusory energy without our knowledge.
Got it? Attached to devotee in material sense.
That's what I'm saying. We are attached to devotees, not in a spiritual sense. Like, okay, it's a very important.
It's more about
saying association. Like, association means like taking Bhagavatam,
yeah,
hearing Krishna support. In that way, we are not taking attached to the devotees. We are attaching them as a regular daily friends, how we are attaching in the material world, but not as a spiritual world.
Yeah. So attachment to devotees in that's in a good clarification. So material sense means, okay, I just want that person as my buddy, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, not like, you know, not because I'm attached to that person, because no, he's giving Krishna to me. Let's say if that person becomes nonsense, I still want, I'm attached to him being my buddy. So it's just material platform. Like, you know, how husband, wife, children, it can be material platform, right? They're still attached to them.
Basically, if some person is very good and very devotional, we are in this like mood of friendship. We are going towards friendship.
Good.
Once it is getting bad, we should not continue.
Exactly. So our thing is about Krishna. Our essence
is
should be
Krishna.
Yes, I want to go to Krishna. Whoever helps me come closer to Krishna, they are my friends. Whoever is blocking me or whoever is not helping, so I'll just maintain distance. So then we are in transcendental platform. Then we are above this desire and hate, above this attachment and aversion. Right? Because it's all about Krishna now. I talk with people because they are helping me come closer to Krishna. I neglect people because they are taking me away from Krishna. So it's not about me, right? It's not about my attachment. It's about Krishna. Right? That's how we transcend this duality of desire and hate. When we when we focus on Krishna and how people are helping me come closer to Krishna versus not.
Totally other way around going.
Huh?
I can say it's like totally other way around practicing. Like,
yeah.
We need to be
attaching
selfish
to the people.
Taking Krishna.
Yes.
We should be selfish.
We should be, actually in Bhagavatam it is said that is Swartha Gatim. Swartha means, you know, Swartha is selfish, right? That's the real self-interest. See, generally that notion of selfish is in a negative way, right? You know, selfish means you are basically...
If it is a material world, material things, it is like selfish means a negative word. But in terms of a transcendental thing, then it is a positive thing, go to back to Krishna.
Yes, exactly. So the selfish in negative, materially is negative because, you know, it's as if we are restricting others from getting something. No, we are grabbing from others. It's in that sense. But if you see self, right, what is self? Self is soul. So real self-interest is the interest of the soul, so which is in connection to Krishna. So that is real self-interest. Now that's why, you know, Swartha Gatim, that's a real selfishness. So you understand this point, how we can be in this, we are many people are going through this now, and how we can transcend it, okay? Somebody reported, okay, I don't want to mention names, so somebody said, you know, San Mataji is very depressed. She's very crying, all those things, you know, very, very much anxious. So then I felt I want to talk to her. So I talked to her and I was telling her, you know, what is material attachment to devotees in a material way and what is attachment to devotees in a spiritual way. So, you know, all these discussions and all those things. Because I remember I shared that incident, right, when I was especially coming to Krishna consciousness, maybe after 5 months or something, we were in Bellevue, I was not married, but... No, our mentors were there and they decided to move over Samamish because new temple was coming here. Devotees are buying houses here to move before the temple move, because when the temple comes they can stay closer. So one day in Saturday when we attend Mangalarti everything, suddenly Prabhu said, you know, we are moving. I didn't have any clue. Govind Charan Prabhu Mataji. I didn't have any clue, suddenly they said. Then I was shocked. I didn't know how to handle myself. I thought, I was about to cry, I thought, you know, it's wrong what I'm doing. You know, I should not feel like that. You know, maybe it's depression or something. I didn't know. I didn't know what it means. But then I couldn't hold, somehow Prabhu figured it out. Then he said, you know, what happened? I was not initiated. So what happened, Pranati? You know, what happened? Why are you crying? Then then I said, you know, Prabhu, I don't know. See, you know, you are my connection to Krishna. You are the one who's, you and Mataji are the one who are training me in Krishna consciousness. Whatever I'm getting inspiration is through you. I feel now, I feel how I can sustain my Krishna consciousness without you, you know. Then he started smiling. I shared, right, once.
Yeah.
Started smiling, then I felt, you know, oh, what is this, a sadistic or wrong? You know, I am suffering and he's smiling so much. Then he said, actually, attachment to devotees is perfection of attachment. That's the best attachment. You know, if you can be attached to devotees because they are giving Krishna, then that is going to take you closer and closer to Krishna. Because wherever they go, at least, you know, as much as it's possible, we followed them. So they came here, we, you know, I struggled so much, prayed so much, and we got a house here to come closer to them. Then they were going somewhere else, we were trying to go there. And by the time, hopefully, we were settled, we were able to sustain ourselves. So I think we let them go. But, yeah. So that's the one, because that helps. Even, you know, attachment to spiritual master can also be in a material way. Many people, after the spiritual master passes the world, they stop practicing everything, you know, all chanting, everything, they stop. Because when spiritual master is there, they do it because, oh, he will give some recognition, he will appreciate in front of others. We do it like the material sense. And he goes, okay, nobody is there to watch, why should I chant? Right? So it's, understand, it's completely material. So it's very important to, so what is attachment in spiritual way? In spiritual master also, there is two types of association, right? Vapu and Vani. Vapu is physical association, spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada also emphasized, more than Vapu is Vani, association with spiritual master through instructions. So somehow we should train ourselves, even from the beginning when spiritual master is present, how to meditate and how to follow the instructions and feel the connection of spiritual master through the instructions. So when we do it, then it will become a spiritual relationship. Then it becomes eternal. Then even after spiritual master passes away the world, we continue following his instructions with the aim that we can meet him in the next life, wherever he is. So that's the point. Okay. So any questions or comments regarding this? Okay, so we'll go to the next verse. Text number 28. So then the question arises, if everybody is bewildered by delusion, how can anybody understand Krishna? Right? Krishna here is his blanket statement. All living entities are born into delusion. So that means nobody can understand Krishna. So that's the next point. Who can be qualified to understand Krishna? Text number 28. Esham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te vangamoham irmukta padante mam trudavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are freed from the dualities of delusion. And they engage themselves in my service with determination. So here Krishna is giving criteria for
who can understand
Krishna and also who can be determined in devotional service. This, what is the criteria? They should have acted piously in previous life and also in this life.
Yes.
And their sinful actions are completely eradicated. Then we can engage themselves in service determination. So if we know we are not determined, we know what is the problem, right? What's the problem?
We are not pious enough.
We still have sinful activities, you know, sinful reactions we are facing. And Prabhupada clarifies, what's the root cause of sin? Root cause of sin, Prabhupada says, ignorance. Because of sin, ignorance only, people commit sin. Because of lack of knowledge. Right, you know, somebody gets ticket from police, right? Then they say, oh, I don't know this new rule. But ignorance is not an excuse. But still they have to pay the price. Small child goes touches a fire, still he has to pay the price of getting burnt. Just because child doesn't know, fire will not be merciful. So similarly, because we don't know certain rules of law and still we disobey them, still we have to face the sinful reactions. There is no excuse that, oh, I didn't know, that's why I'm... No, I did it. So it's, especially for a human being, it's a responsibility to familiarize themselves with the code of conduct in this material world, so they don't face sinful reactions. So we are all burdened with the sinful reactions, because of which, you know, some, especially initially, it is said that our devotional service is like Ranga Tarangini. You know, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, waves, goes up, goes down. It's like that. At least, you know, especially the Anartha Nivritta stage, it's like that. Until we come to Nishtha, then we can be determined. It's because of that. But the point is, this point everybody should understand very clearly. This piety is not the one which is making them favorable, which is making them Krishna conscious. Material, who can give, how can we get bhakti?
God's mercy.
Only bhakti can give bhakti, right? Only,
yes.
Basically it's spiritual.
Yeah.
Anything material cannot give bhakti. So much of a pious material, you know, wealth we have, education we have, or, you know, beauty we have, whatever is there, it's not that because I'm beautiful, you know, my spiritual master, you know, somehow gets attracted to me and I get bhakti, you know. It doesn't come. Bhakti only can give bhakti, you know. So spiritual, it's spirit, right? So spirit only should trigger it. So, but this piety, then how does this piety, this is material piety, how does this piety help? So the way I also got to know is from this Bhurijan Prabhu's book, is that this piety helps one situated favorably to receive the mercy of a pure devotee. When one is pious enough, when a pure devotee casts his glance, then it's receptive, the ground is, or a heart is fertile to receive that mercy and start taking up devotional service. So that's the difference. So piety as it is not leading them to get bhakti, but because it's pious, they are ready to receive the instructions and they are ready to take it up. But it's actually the pure devotee's mercy which is causing this to happen, because that bhakti, this bhakti is giving, is causing the bhakti in the devotee.
So this pious work is like pious activities in the material platform, this,
yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Of course, there is also, there is spiritual piety also. It's called, I don't know Sanskrit term, but this is called Agnyata Sukriti. You know, we might have done some amount of devotional service, unknown devotional service in previous lifetimes, because of which suddenly we take it up. But in this life, to take it up, we should be in this material piety situation, so that again we get favorably disposed towards devotees and take it up. At some time it will spark, because we have done some devotional service in earlier life. But when it will come is this situation. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, some people have to go through so much distress before they take up devotional service. That's because that purification has to happen. They have to go through that amount of turmoil, you know, that this thing, in order for them to be favorably receiving the Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I felt it myself actually. Whole life I didn't even have to, of course, my mother was pious and she does her own pujas, and I always felt it's out of sentiment. And my dad always said, you know, focus on studies. And of course, I was faring well. So, you know, what for a child, what else you want, right? Only main thing people look for you is studies. So if studies you are doing good, you know, why do you care about God? You know, who, anyway, it's like, it's not like we do devotional service, like chanting and all those things, right? But then, you know, so everything went through, all job, education, everything, you know, so all this journey, came to US, masters. Then, you know, after that job, then I felt I didn't have any goal in my life actually. That time I felt, then I felt, you know, I should explore some impious ways. So I went in the wrong direction. Anyway, whatever it is, so after 1 year I went through such pain, emotional pain. Everything, it's like completely frustrated in life. No, all my education, wealth or whatever didn't solve the problem. All my so-called friends, whomever I could share so much, didn't solve my problem. I was like, you know, what is this? And I used to feel, I never was so miserable in my life. I was also always happy. But why I should be so much suffering? You know, why I should go through so much? So then finally, you know, out of, you know, somehow there is some amount of piety actually. This something is there. I brought Lord Narayana's picture from India, right? We usually get when we come to US. So that picture was there on the table. I never looked at it. I never did any aarti or anything. But one day I was coming out of restroom after bath or something, and suddenly I was crying, and then I just looked there and just prayed like this, you know, okay, you have to save me now, you know, I cannot do anything, you should show me a way. I think that changed actually. And then I realized for 1 year I subscribed to a group within Microsoft where they used to send every day Bhagavad Gita email by Vedanarayan Prabhu. But I never looked at it. It goes always goes into one folder, right? Why do you look at it when you're happy, enjoying everything? then suddenly after a few days of that, I just went to that folder. Then I saw Vedanarayan Prabhu, right? I prayed to Narayana and Narayana responded. Vedanarayan Prabhu that sent email. Then I felt this also again, some amount of piety. Then I felt, oh, Bhagavad Gita has solution to all problems. This conviction I had. Okay, maybe it will solve my problem. So let me ask for Bhagavad Gita. Then I asked them, you know. Then, of course, you know, devotees, you know, they take time to respond. I was so eager, you know, to solve my miseries. Then within 1 hour, nobody responded. I searched Google. I found 100 Bhagavad Gitas. Then I felt, you know, oh. Then I wrote them, you know, can you tell me Bhagavad Gita for a novice, for a new, it's as if, you know, for different studies you have for novice, for a beginner, for advanced person. I felt it's like that. Then I asked. Then they, after... Then after 1 hour, after 2 hours, Vedanarayan Prabhu called on the phone and he said, you know, it's very rare for somebody to directly ask, they want to read Bhagavad Gita. You know, you are such a pious soul. You are such a wonderful person. I was like, oh, what is this? I'm suffering so much. I didn't have any option. And he's saying, he's glorifying me. What is that? One thing attracted me was like, he was quoting Sanskrit verses left, right and center in that within conversation. Then I felt, oh, he's from India. He came here. In materialistic world, everything, but still he retains that culture. Oh, so nice. Oh, I want to see, you know, what it is. Then he's directed to, there is a group in Microsoft which was meeting. There I met there. And devotees, you know, they are very, very smart, right? They can pick it up, who is eager, who is ready, everything, right? So within few months, their master planning was going on devotees. Oh, there's one person Microsoft is attending. Okay, how do we pull her inside, you know, more and more. So then slowly they said, you know, additional to Friday, Thursday, we have Friday home programs. We want to come. I said, oh, I go to gym. Every day I go to gym. So I go to gym, but you know, I'll say one time I'll come and see. So I came one time. Then, you know, I really liked it. Actually, this was much better. Home environment, so friendly, so informal. I like this one better than that. I said, okay, let me give 2 days to Krishna. Thursday in Microsoft and Friday, you know, at home. Then slowly, you know, once you come in association of devotees, you know what happens. So, you know, yeah, all 5 days, gym is gone, everything is gone. Now it's all, you know, Goloka gym. So it's like, you know, doing exercises for Krishna. So that's, you know, some piety. So that piety will create, so that turmoil, later I realized that turmoil I had to go through. And to come to the state of destitute, you know, come to the state of, you know, eagerness to receive, was very much needed for me actually, you know. Otherwise, I don't know what I could have done. But once I took it up, then I took it up seriously because it was so fertile. It was so already, you know, ready to receive. So, okay, so we'll read part 4. First paragraph.
Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish and
deceitful.
It is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion.
So the key Prabhupada is telling is that actually if you somehow associate with pure devotees in Krishna consciousness, they can actually create our piety also. Somehow or the other, let's say, some reason you get attached to some devotees or just attached to service to temple or something, because of that, the piety will be created, because of which slowly you will gradually get elevated out of this delusion. Okay, so then we'll read the next few lines where Prabhupada is talking about pure devotee, you know, his mercy. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam.
It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees.
Varam ahar vimukte.
But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. All the devotees of the Lord
travels
this earth just to recover the conditioned souls
from delusion. We can pause there. Yeah? So Prabhupada is saying, if you want to be liberated, then just render service to devotees. You know, that's the key. You know, wherever we are at, whatever level we are at, we should never stop serving devotees. You know, always we talked about three levels we can serve, right? Advanced devotee, we hear from them, and we make friendship with our people, you know, at similar to our level of advancement, and we help devotees who are newcomers. You know, so we are always serving devotees. But always, initially we always feel only hearing is the service and other things, we don't see how we are serving others actually. That's initially, few years that's what we feel. Serving devotees means, you know, we are hearing or maybe, you know, making prasadam plate for some, you know, temple president, that's what we feel service, but we don't see other ways of, especially advanced devotees, if we hear from them, that's the best service we can do to them. Because that's what they want to do, they want to give Krishna. It's not like, you know, they want some servants to, you know, manage their body, you know, their physical needs. If pure devotees, especially if they see us making advancement, that gives great pleasure to them. That's what they want. So then is saying, Prabhupada, all the devotees of the Lord travels this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. So earlier ages, disciples have to look for Guru. They go wandering, you know, where is Guru, where is Guru. These days in Kali Yuga, it's such a state that the spiritual masters go around finding where is my disciple, where is my disciple. It's like that, you know, because we are so contaminated, we cannot even... So they come, they cast their glance, by which, you know, we feel some attraction, okay, some mystic power, something. Then we feel, oh, let me follow this Swami or let me something. Then we start getting out of delusion. Yeah. Next number, next, we'll go to the next verse.
Jaramaranamokshaya mam ashritya yantantiye te brahma tarpidu krishnam yadyatmam karma chakilam.
Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. So you know, the first line is very clear. Intelligent people who want liberation from death, birth and death, they take up devotional service. So Krishna is saying only by devotional service you can get liberated from birth and death. And he is also saying they are Brahman. That means they are self-situated. They are spiritually realized. And they also know everything about transcendental activities. That's why Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. One who knows birth and death of my appearance will not take birth again. So we'll read last two lines of the first paragraph. The pure devotees are transcendentally situated.
The pure devotees are transcendentally situated in Brahman platform. and they know everything about transcendental and material activities.
We can pause there. Yeah. So they are situated in Brahman platform, so they know everything about transcendental activities. And last paragraph, last four lines. Only persons who perform activities.
It's not last paragraph.
Oh, sorry, second paragraph. Yes. Last.
Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, mam ashritya, are actually entitled to be called
Brahman.
Because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna and thus they are factually Brahman.
Hmm.
Is Brahman or Brahman?
That's what I think.
Brahman.
Brahman, right? How do you spell like?
One of the Varna, right?
No. Brahman is that impersonal effulgence.
What is the spelling difference between Brahman and
Brahmana?
Brahmana. NA will be there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Brahmana. Yeah.
So what is the context here as a Brahman?
So basically that means he's self-situated, self-realized. We realize we are Brahman. Brahman means we are spiritual spark, right?
Right.
So the devotee who is doing pure devotional service realizes he is servant of Krishna. That he is no, his spirit, he is not matter.
The only person who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, are actually entitled to call Brahman.
Mm.
That means Brahmana, right?
No, no, no. Means they are only...
Brahman means is part of, is Krishna, right?
Yeah.
But how can we, who are doing activities of Krishna,
how they can...
How can we say that that
no,
is...
No, this, okay. This term Brahman is used in three different ways. It means impersonal effulgence of Krishna. It means actually it even also means Goloka sometimes. It also means spirit soul. No, they are different. There are many many ways in which it's used.
Okay.
They are called Brahman means that they are self. That's why I'm trying to say so many times. They are called Brahman means they are self situated. They are self realized. They realize that they are spirit soul. They are part of Krishna.
Not Brahmana.
Not Brahmana. That's completely different. And they, it's not like they are realizing personal effulgence. That's also not the one. They realize they are, basically they realize their spirit, they are not matter. Satchidananda, they realize they are Satchidananda. Because they are actually endeavoring to go reach the Krishna planet. See, that's what Prabhupada is saying. So that means whoever is following any different path, they cannot be called self-realized. That's what Prabhupada is saying. They cannot be called spiritually realized, even though they make or they follow some type of yoga or something and or the something or the other, they cannot be called self-realized. It's okay. Yeah, so we can go to the next verse, last verse. Sadi bhutadi daivam maam sadi yajnam chaye vidu prayana kale picha maam te vidur chetasam. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. So here again, similar to that Bhoktaram verse, right? Krishna is declaring many new terms, which Arjuna is going to clarify in the 8th chapter. He's going to ask about what is this Adi Bhuta, what is Adi Daivam, what is... Yadi Yajnam. He's going to ask the questions and Krishna is going to reply. But here is saying that who understands completely about his nature, that you know he is the governing, he is the proprietor, he is the enjoyer. You know, this governing principle of material manifestation means he is the proprietor, supreme proprietor. And he is, methods of sacrifice means he is supreme enjoyer. Of demigods means the supreme controller. One who knows all of this, then he knows me at the time of death. That means in this life when we are fully absorbed in Krishna in a proper way, knowing Krishna as he is, the time of death also we will remember Krishna. That's what Krishna says. So we'll read the second paragraph where Prabhupada is summarizing this chapter. This seventh chapter.
This seventh chapter particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna conscious. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord. And by His grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme God. At the same time, one can really understand the constitutional position of the living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord.
Okay, pause. Very nice history, right?
Yeah.
How the living entity can take up Krishna consciousness, how he can improve, how he can realize.
What is
and
meaning of Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
Is exactly his.
Yeah, and then finally how he can attain mercy of the Lord. See, the last point is so important, right? He says, he can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is there, but the point is, what are we doing to get the mercy? It should be fully utilized. So our part is, are we fully utilizing? Again, same point. Are we fully utilized? Are we eager? Are we, you know, making Krishna our priority? If we do that, then causeless mercy of the Lord, we attract causeless mercy of the Lord. That means the mercy is there, but, you know, we are not ready to receive. When we do fully utilize, we are eager, you know, we are opening our heart saying, you know, please come. Then we receive. Otherwise, we are busy doing so many things. Even it comes, we don't care. Right? So we should be, you know, ready. You know, I'm desperate. I'm destitute. I'm dying. You know, without mercy, I cannot do anything. Every day, every minute. Initially, we do like that. After some time, it's like, oh, everything is set. I have house. I have children. Everything is set. You know, we come. Especially mode of goodness is very dangerous. Because we become very complacent. We feel, okay, it's nice. Let me stay here.
Mode of goodness is dangerous?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mode of goodness is better than passion and ignorance, but mode of goodness is also dangerous because devotees will become complacent. They feel, okay, I'm good here.
I'm good. Why
you yeah, I'm good, you know. I'm especially Krishna consciousness, devotional service will give lot of, you know, happiness. So then there are six aspects of devotional service, right? One is it, you know, it gives all auspiciousness, it removes kleshagni, it removes material miseries. So all the things which you are suffering from, everything goes away very quickly. Within 1-2 years, if we follow sincerely, all our miseries go away and we see lot of auspiciousness, lot of happiness by chanting. Then we feel, yeah, it's very nice. No, but then we can remain there forever, actually, you know. But then we should understand, what does it mean? No, I don't want to stay here. I want to go to Krishna. So, okay, let me pick up from here. What else I have to do more and more to Krishna? What else I have to improve? What else I have to do in order to not become complacent? Actually, Harivilas Prabhu said, I think in one lecture, you know, the way to, what is the key to condemn the complacency, or what is the key to overcome complacency? What's the way to overcome complacency?
Not staying satisfied with the progress.
Yeah, so okay, not staying satisfied with progress. Or one thing is actually if you have an association of advanced devotees, then you will immediately realize, you know, I'm not there, you know, so let me, you know, like, and always Prabhupada says, you know, the proof that this process works is that we can always find a person more advanced than you. You see the point? That means there's always a next level you can go to. The proof that this process works is there is always a person more advanced. So you can't keep remaining in your level and think that this is a pure devotee statement, a situation, and I've already reached it. When you meet a person more advanced, then you feel, oh, okay, let me go there. You know, I have to do more. Other key is, practically is, to always improve. When we always improve all the things which we are doing, like chanting and reading, improving and going deeper, then we overcome complacency. Because we always are looking for, you know, what more I can do. Like, you know, basically change in quality. Sometimes at certain point we cannot change quantity wise, we cannot improve. Because life is set, we have the amount of time we have to sleep and amount of time we take care of kids, office. That is there. So then we can work on quality, how to improve my quality of service to Krishna. Then we work on this, then we can overcome complacency. Then we are actively. That's why devotional service is an active process. It's not like, oh, once upon a time I've chanted 16 rounds for 1 year, then I'm set for the next of the life. It's always, you know, we have to, because Maya, right, it said, unless we are driving upstream, when we are swimming upstream. When we're swimming upstream, even 1 minute if you stop, what will happen? It'll start going down. So we have to always struggle to at least, you know, even to stay in that same place, you have to struggle. And that struggle is what attracts Krishna's mercy. You know, this devotee, even if your mind is not focusing on the holy name, I am disturbed, but we struggle, oh, I want to hear, I want to chant. That struggle is what Krishna is looking for, that's all. He's not looking for the output that she concentrated, you know, 20, all the 16 rounds, completely remembering me. He knows it's impossible. Krishna only told, right? Arjuna, you know, it's as difficult as controlling the wind. He knows that. But what he wants to see is, even despite the situation, are you struggling? That struggle is bhakti. That struggle is struggle for Krishna, struggle to come to Krishna. That's what he's seeing and that's what he's getting attracted. But because it's difficult, because I'm not able to, if you give it up, like anyway, it's like that anyway. So if you don't put effort, if you won't, then even that is struggle also is not there. We are making it very easy for ourselves and not attracting mercy. So okay, I think we are done now. But we can read last few lines of the second paragraph. He who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness. It's in the middle of the sentence. However,
he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by his doing so, all his objectives will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dhrida Vrata, and it is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga or Transcendental Loving Service. That is the verdict of all scriptures. This seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction.
So what is the conviction? That he is convinced that just by following Krishna consciousness, all his objectives are fulfilled. So this is what...
Thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purport of the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of
knowledge of the absolute. So this conviction that just by following Krishna consciousness, just by devoting Supreme Lord, all my objectives, all my desires, everything is fulfilled. And later on, you know, as we take initiation, the same thing applies. Just by following the instructions of spiritual master, everything, whatever I need to get, advancement or whatever, you know, our desires in Krishna consciousness will be fulfilled. That we should come to that after initiation, everything. That's also conviction, no? Whatever my spiritual master's instructions, if I just abide and mold my life, you know, in dedicating to those instructions, whatever I need to get, like, you know, advancement or whatever, you know, services I need to do, everything will come. Just a matter of time. So we can end here. Any questions or comments?
Mataji, here in this translation, as mentioned, can understand and know me. But previously we read, but me no one knows. So, both are
supposed to be. Yeah, but you know, no one knows this in general, no one knows.
No one means no one knows me, means no one knows.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, in any way,
but
even pure.
Who knows me? It's just.
Actually, even if pure devotees, they say, you know Krishna, it's not like everything about Krishna they will know. It is said that Ananta Shesha, with all this lot of hoods, he is glorifying Krishna's activities, but still is not from time immemorial, but still is not able to finish his stories. That means the moment you say you know Krishna, Krishna will grow bigger than that. So that's nobody can completely know Krishna. So that's also true. No one knows means no one knows me completely. Actually, Krishna himself doesn't know himself completely. Because the moment he thinks he knows, he figures out something else he can do. So that's the point there. And here it says, so at least, you know, can understand, know me a little bit as he's a Supreme Lord, Supreme Master, everything. Who realizes that much, then they can, at the time of death, they can come to him.
Sir, our efforts would to know him or to surrender ourselves. The only objective is to surrender ourselves?
Yes.
Because we, at no point can we know him.
We can know him only when he reveals according to our surrender, right? So we should do, when we do surrender, when Krishna Bhakti Amama Vijanati, when Krishna is pleased with our bhakti, he will reveal. Slowly he will say, you know, you can see me in this form, even if you read scriptures, I am present. If you read chant my holy names, I am present. If you eat prasadam, I am present. So he will reveal his all these forms. He will reveal his himself through devotees.
Knowing things when it is like, every simple thing, take just a simple skin also, what is happening there, there's a lot of science behind it. So if you just small thing and then think about the whole thing, so no way can we know things, right?
No. So
knowing Krishna is about knowing the whole thing, obviously it's not. It's just about love and power. Right?
We'll work on that bhava and surrender, then Krishna will reveal what is needed for us to know about him.
Mm-hmm.
Even pure devotees, they are qualified to know everything about Krishna, but Krishna reveals only some aspect, whatever is needed for the service. They can have mystic powers, pure devotees, they can have so many things, but you know, it's not needed for their service. So Krishna doesn't reveal all those things. Somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, can you read your minds or something? Or you know Krishna, so can you read our minds? He said, yeah, I can read our minds if Krishna can give me that, but it's not needed. Why? Sometimes it may seem like pure devotees, they may forget certain, appointments or, you know, their servants, they have to remind them. It may feel like that. But why they should use their memory in remembering all those things, right? they can remember Krishna. That's the point. It's not like, oh, pure devotee should know everything, remember everything. Why, you know, so we'll do all these mistakes. So then,
it's a nice point. That's a really nice point, that is. They know, they always remember Krishna.
Yeah.
They don't need to remember all
the details. All the details. Yes. Yeah. When needed, Krishna can reveal, you know, whatever is needed for them, for their service.
In a similar context, I have read some time back about Vivekananda probably. Some associates of him, he asked, like, can you know about us? He said, I can. It's just that if you allow me, like, if you say yes, then only I will do it. Otherwise, I will not.
Oh.
Like, so that's something that pure devotees, if you say something about me, is when they'll get into you and.
Oh, I don't know that. They're getting into, I don't know all this. But they know because they are connected with Krishna. If Krishna is super soul, they know through super soul.
Mm-hmm.
You can stop them. After that, we can discuss it.
Yeah.
And because unless we break, they will become late and we will stop here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.